This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to an end of the regular season edition of the Warriors plus minus podcast. Warriors lose to the Clippers at home. Warriors are locked into the seventh seed. Play-in game Tuesday night, Warriors-Grizzlies. With the Rockets as the prize if you win that, or else a very dangerous situation with Friday season on the line against Kings Mavericks, and winner gets the Thunder. So clearly we will talk plenty about Tuesday in the matchup, but you know, story of the day is they missed out on the first of three opportunities to get into the playoffs, and the most appealing one because, you know, you get the Lakers, which we could debate that matchup, but you get a week off. They do not get a week off.
No, at least they're at home. We talked about that before. This is home. Next one would be at home. Even if they lose that one, I'd be at home. They start on the road whenever they win one of these. I think, did you say that if they win Tuesday, they will play the Houston Rockets, the two seed? So, you know, they would have a couple days off, but they better win Tuesday. And they played fine tonight. You know, today, whatever it is, they didn't play terribly. They talked about it. They were pissed off about not going after some loose balls. Cool. I thought they were a little soft. They were soft.
There was once Kurt was really mad at Moody about.
Yeah, he just kind of expected the ball to come to him, and then somebody just shot in front of him.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, oh yeah, and the Clippers can do that. But it was a great game. I mean, Jimmy Butler was fantastic, and Draymond was saying like, we get, you know, they're going to count on Jimmy Butler. This level of Jimmy Butler, they should at least get through the play-in if they continue to get that kind of play, and everyone else kind of rises up.
I'd say two things. Number one, to me, them being in the play-in and their season still being on the line is not about tonight. It's about the Spurs loss. They would be the sixth seed. Tonight wouldn't have mattered. That if we retell the end of the season because they either get eliminated now or they tire themselves out and go to Oklahoma City and get blasted, it's because they let Harrison Barnes and the Spurs beat them. That's the one. That is the night that I think they really screwed this up. Number one. Number two, Butler looked great tonight, but Butler played 48 minutes and Butler was limp at postgame. He took a Kawhi Leonard, you know, flying knee to the thigh. Said he's fine, but they don't need him to just be out there on Tuesday night. They need him to be really significantly impactful. And I will be watching, you know, how he's moving early. Marcus Thompson has joined us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I didn't just take an L, so I'm all right.
That we know. We'll see. We'll see how the writing goes.
That's a challenge.
I can't take an L in the writing. Writing about the team is taking the L. I actually thought, I don't know, if they just play like that, they'll be fine. Memphis is not as good as the Clippers, so seems pretty.
I agree. The historical context that I would put a red alarm highlight on right now is the fact that they were the 8 seed in the play-in. This is a few years ago. This is when Memphis was a rising team. They went down to L.A. and they played a fantastic game in L.A. This is when they had Kent Bazemore starting at the two guard. And that was a good Laker team that I think, you know, won their way into the West Finals or something like that.
No, I don't think it was fun, but yeah, they were not a bad Laker
team. Yeah, like the Warriors played really well that night. But the problem is they really tired themselves out that night. They came wobbling home and lost to a fiery young Grizzlies team who just outplayed them on a given night. Ja Morant was hot. They had beat the Grizzlies on game 82. Remember they had the game 82 here to get the 8 seed that time. So I guess my point is, like, I get the idea of, like, if they play as well as they do tonight, they'll be fine. But, like, what if Jimmy's hobbling around and John Morant gets hot?
That was 4 years ago. So that's,
I just mean that as an example of, like, okay, they, you know.
I mean, but it doesn't matter if they can't, though. If they can't, none of it. Like, that team that lost to them, to Memphis, they weren't going anywhere. And they proved they weren't going anywhere because they couldn't win a play-in game. So if they can't, if they have to use their best game to beat Memphis, they're cooked anyway. So it really kind of doesn't matter. I don't think this team is cooked. I think they're going to – I think there'd be a problem. I think the Clippers are a really good team and a matchup nightmare, and I think part of that was that's what that was about tonight. I don't think Memphis should not be able to stretch them the way the Clippers did. You know, so yeah, if they can't beat Memphis, then they might as well forget playing the Thursday game and then going over the semis. They're done. It's a wrap. Man.
Just let Klay Thompson have it.
Go ahead and rest everybody. Turn it into Spats Mitchell show.
Yeah, I mean, again, this was a good, really good game. Clippers are really cool. Kawhi was so good. But the Warriors have stuff to match up with him. Not many, you know, other teams. I'm like talking to somebody along. I'm like, I don't know many other teams that can throw Draymond and Jimmy Butler at separate times at Kawhi Leonard and have other guys to be able to guard some other guys. But it was interesting. We can talk about the coaching decision. Steve Kerr has been hinting about this very, very, very clearly that John Kuminga was going to have a reduced role probably very soon. And tonight, DMP. And maybe some of that was because Butler was going to play most of the game, although
it wasn't. Kuminga was told pregame. It was known pregame that
he
wasn't.
Saying part of the plan is that Jimmy's going to play a lot.
Yeah, but
it was above and beyond that. It was above
because when Jimmy Butler was subbed out in the first quarter, which is when Kuminga has been coming in the game for Jimmy Butler, it wasn't him. It was Payton. Yeah, he was told that was going to be that way. He was told he was going to be out of the rotation.
Yeah, Gary Payton played 25 minutes, so clearly there's stuff going that Kerr does not like what Kuminga's doing. I don't know if it will exactly play out that way in the Memphis game, but it clearly was for this game. I would imagine it will be for most other matchups. We'll see. Maybe not for the Rockets. I don't know, but – you know, when he said that, when we all heard it, when he said after the last game, we were been playing better weeks ago. We're not playing as well as we were weeks ago. And what happened a few weeks ago? John Kuminga came back in the lineup. So that's stuff to talk about over the long term. I just don't – yeah, it's pretty obvious that Steve Kerr is not too interested in having John Kuminga be in the main rotation. And it's DMP in this game, really big game. I don't know what's going to happen next game, but I think it's – the odds are it would probably be very, very, very few limits – very few minutes for John Kuminga on Tuesday. There'll be some. And by the way, he was just doing his own individual workout there on the court.
He still is. He's been out there for like probably 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he didn't get a lot of exercise during the game. They're just going in another way. And it's an issue. We've been talking about it. It's finally Steve Kerr decided that they're not going to go with Kuminga.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a misstep. To be honest, I'm looking at the old, the 2021 game against Memphis. Who are the seven players who played that game?
Well, the funny thing is,
there's actually eight, but one of them barely played.
You're talking about
Memphis play-in game for 2021.
Oh,
Draymond, Steph Curry, Kent Bazemore,
JTA.
Played 31 minutes off the bench.
I remember JTA had a huge DHO that like didn't go well or something
Klay
like
Thompson.
Late night
game. No Klay.
Klay was still out.
Oh, he's still out. Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. I can't even think.
Andrew Wiggins.
And Kuminga?
Right. No, Kuminga.
So what's interesting, though, Kuminga wasn't drafted.
Rookie Jordan Poole. Uh-huh. And the last 8 minutes went to Michael Mulder.
Oh, the great clutch
shooter.
Yeah. They're just better. They got more options now. But to me, I think the riskiness of not playing Kuminga at all is the fact that you're just going to need him. And then what do you do then? Like, if you get into a series, you're going to need him.
Well, I mean, they would say, Steve would definitely say, well, when we need him, be ready. And I agree, they're going to need him. And, you know, I mean, it's going
to. That's ideal to say that, but you also have to manage the player. Right. You can't just
We could sit here for about 3 hours, and I could go blow for blow on the management of Jonathan Kuminga.
I would guess the locker room would say maybe this fires you up, JK, and then prove you belong in there next time you show up. I don't think I'm a Kuminga guy. I like his game. I understand that he does throw knots into their offense sometimes and sometimes kind of lose guys on defense. I think his talents are just over, you know, over and above all that. But I don't think there's a great momentum in the locker room for JK to play. Just does not feel that way, I'll put it that way, that they like the other stuff they do. As Kerr said, that we've got a unit that we like. They've got a rotation they like. I think we all can see maybe you need to be better in certain areas. He does not has not reached that conclusion, that it's not worth the risk of playing him to mess up their chemistry. And, you know, his on-off stats are not good, clearly. And, you know, Guy Santos is the one who's thrown up there as the kind of the opposite of him.
Well, DMP that, tonight,
DMP too. That's why Kerr's like, hey, I didn't play Guy either, and that's my guy. So
I didn't play anybody who I don't think is good.
Well, he likes – you think Santos is fine, but, yeah, it is interesting. I was talking about this with somebody in the locker room. Like, those are the two – those are the – like, Guy does everything Steve wants him to do, isn't very talented. Kuminga doesn't do many of the things that Kerr wants him to do and is supremely talented. They cancel each other out. So Kerr just went, I'm not playing either one of them. And then that means Gary Payton plays 25 minutes in an overtime game. So let's say 20 minutes, it's a lot for somebody who doesn't shoot. Also, I keep saying but he does not shoot. He did not shoot the ball. That's tough. It's tough to play that.
In the lane, too, right? No, like, you're catching it in the lane. See, that's where I'm – I mean, I don't even fully disagree with Steve's logic, but the idea is you're telling me you can't use anything Kuminga has. Meanwhile, Quentin Post is out there destroying you and not shooting the ball. Like,
he didn't play that much either.
That's what I'm saying. But you get him out there. You say, hey, we're having a hard time getting offense. Here's a matchup I like. Let's get you on Bogdan Bogdanović and just go to the hole, right? Like, you got to be able to use all of those. I mean, Ty Lue is out here playing Ben Simmons, right? Like, and if they're gonna get where they need to go, you can't just cut off parts of the team that actually work because you don't like some other part. Like, just use the one thing he can do, which is get downhill, put him in position, and they could have used that at points tonight. Not 30 minutes, but say, all right, here's the matchup. Just take him. Every time, but also the real difficulty is a little bit less.
I think Steve is
Kuminga. It's more Jimmy Butler.
Like, yeah, well, just, and the Jimmy Draymond Kuminga pairing.
Jimmy, trio. That's the big issue.
Yeah, I think Steve has decided, or at least decided today, especially in like this is more like an elimination style. This isn't a game one where hey, you lose a game one, you readjust, you talk about schemes, you go into a game two, whatever. This, you know, they felt like they were playing a little bit like season on the line, and we'll feel that way again Tuesday. But it seems like he decided, hey, you know, I don't want. He does not want to see two defensive mistakes made at the wrong time or two whiffed rebounds.
That's the part I never understand. You get them with Quentin Post. You're getting them with Guy Santos. You're getting them with Draymond instead. Like, what are we talking about here?
I'm not saying you're wrong, but he would say that he's getting them a lot more.
I'm saying you get two and you sit down. Like, that's the way it is. But I'm just saying you're getting the missed assignments. Now, this I understand because against the Clippers, you got to be a high IQ player. Like, everything is happening fast. Like, I get this matchup. This is tough. Like, you make the wrong – I mean, you see what happened to Quentin Post. They're zoned up, and he's kind of playing the drive back. You don't get a hand up. Kawhi's hitting that three. Like, that's as massive as any mistake somebody else made. Draymond lost it. But that's just simply going to happen. So the idea that Jonathan Kuminga's mistakes are worse than somebody else's is the part I don't get. Like, you put – Gary Payton fouls a three-point shooter every time he plays. Like,
that was a bad foul on
Harden. Like, every time you know he's going to do it. Like, why is that more tolerable than somebody else's?
That was my point last time even. We're talking about it. And that, like, it's not like they have some other perfect player who's there to take those minutes. Like, they still have flawed players to take those minutes. And, like, you could say, give them 12 minutes then, Steve. Not zero. But it might be zero next game. It really might be.
And, well, it just was zero.
Yeah, so. It just was zero, and it might be zero again. Like, you're right, in a series, I could see them. Like, we got feel it out, see where we can plot them. But, you know, there's repercussions for this, no question. Like, he's on any kind of contract discussions. I don't know. You know, you pay that guy $35 million if Steve doesn't trust him in this moment. In when you could use
values,
is that what it is, or lowering his value? And I'll just say again, I just – like, we heard a little – you could feel it when – Steph wanted Guy to finish that game, and that was out. Kuminga was who was he was replacing. So you just felt it. Like, the locker room was not going, hey, everybody, why aren't they playing Kuminga? I'll tell you, that was not the feeling in there. that, you know, some of it is like he has so much skill that he wants to dominate every game. Can't do it. And the trying to do it, I think he's better at it now, you know, the intent of it, but they just don't feel like they need it right now.
And I just don't think they're good enough to say, we don't want that part that you do.
I agree with you.
Like, we can go without it. I don't know that they're that good. And well, Steve clearly thinks so, but
he just thinks this is how he wants to ride this team. And if they flame out, and part of the reason they flame out is because it's like, man, their lack of athleticism, the lack of juice at the rim, then, like, that will be the story told. But, again, this is historically been Steve's tendencies. He went away from Kuminga in the playoffs 2 years ago. You know, Kuminga was a massive, massive rotation piece for the entire time Andrew Wiggins was away from the team, which I think everybody can remember was a long time. Jonathan Kuminga was like 20-plus minutes every night. He was scoring 20 points regularly. Andrew Wiggins showed back up in the playoffs, and Gary Payton, who, remember, he had just been retraded for Wiseman, he finally got healthy for the playoffs. And those two played over Kuminga in those two series because Steve in those type of moments didn't trust him. And I just think we're seeing year four of this. But as was reminded to me and you, and I'll even say it, like, we were, you know, talking a little bit with Looney post-game, and Looney is the ultimate version of, like, you got to stay ready because Steve changes his mind 125 times over the course of...
Like, I've been through it.
Yeah, I've been through it 95 times. And he reminded, you know who else has been through it? Kuminga. Kuminga started in the Memphis series as a rookie. And I went and looked at the game log. Kuminga in that series had like two games of like 20-plus minutes. He went eight of, in a win, I believe, in Memphis, or maybe it was a home win. He had a game, a playoff game, as a rookie, where he went 8 of 10 shooting in a win over the Memphis Grizzlies. That, like, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was game one, wasn't it?
No, Poole had 31 in game one. He, I think it might have been like game three or four that they won here. But, like, you know, people act like it's been like you had the rawest ever prospect in year one, and, like, I don't know. Like, Steve does, like, playoffs do take 95 different various paths. And the fact that he got a DMP tonight, while it is, you know, alarm bell ringing, considering where he's at in his career, and you mentioned the contract he wants, the contract we'll see this summer, but, like, it could come back
to him. Yeah, that's my thing. It will come back to him. Like, it's going to come back to him. You're going to, at some point, you're going to need Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, the more ruthless side of sports, the people, you know, in the locker room, certainly the coaches here would say, okay, then be ready when it does. Okay, if you are who you think you are, just be ready. And you know what? Like, he is out there. Like, I know sometimes people view the, like, after the game thing as, like, show. But regardless of if it's show or not, like, it can be a selfish version of being ready. He is entering a contract situation. And the market in the summer is not going to care that you got a DMP on game 82 if you have three or four huge playoff games. Yeah. Like, his season can still be defined later. And again, that isn't, because, I'm all about team, necessarily, like, even being about yourself.
I just think if you're – I mean, it's a great point, like, just be ready. But if you think he might not be ready because of this, you can't be, like, after you're ousted in a 5-game series talking about, oh, well, we thought he was going to be ready. Like, no, you get him ready. That's the job. It's not to say, hey, sir, be ready if you can. Like, you do the thing that it takes to get him ready. Maybe this is it. Well, maybe it makes him angry and he does it. But it's not like this kind of pacifist approach that a coaching staff can take to be like, hey, I hope you're ready.
I agree, and that's a little bit like what the regular season's about. Yeah. But I guess, you know, if you were to say, well, what was Steve Kerr's argument to that be? It'd be like, well, like, the time for that might have been previously. It might have been when he had a 31-game absence. It might have been the previous 4 years. But today wasn't about guiding guys. Ready. Today was like, beat the Clippers. Beat the Clippers.
Tuesday will be the same. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's no question. And so I don't think he's going to play much of that game, and he might not play in the rest of the game.
If the season's on the line, he's probably not going to play.
Yes, I was going to say, that's what happens with coaches and the players, and the belief isn't there. Maybe that will change again, but Steve's been hinting this to us.
No doubt.
And it has not, you know, I didn't think it would take this dramatic a reaction, but it's there. And, I mean, again, they're going to have to deal with this in the summertime. Because this is going to be remembered. Even if he plays more in the playoffs, this is going to be remembered by the Kuminga camp, and it feels like
this is the end of the era. Like,
I mean, I don't. I mean, they might keep him just because keep the asset, but
I think how this season ends is going to dictate a lot. You know,
if he goes out and balls in the playoffs,
or how about, like, let's say he gets in little minutes, but they flame out either in the play-in or, you know, they stumble into the eight seed and the Thunder, you know, 4-1 them and he's barely playing. Like, they have a lot bigger questions about the roster than just Jonathan Kuminga. He's one of the questions.
If you're Kuminga, sure. You're like, I'm not coming back to a coach that doesn't believe in me.
Yeah, I mean, restricted free agency is not player friendly, but like I will just say, yeah, there's definitely some sour feelings.
Takes the 1 year tender, and then he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Now you almost never see that, but that's how you can make yourself an unrestricted free agent. This is not headed down a kumbaya road. Like, it is not.
And by the way, that it's been 4 years. Yeah, this is not this wasn't there's some stunning betrayal this today.
Nobody knows more about this than Steve, by the way. Like, I know everybody's got an opinion, but he's in there. He's talked to the team. You know, he's
for all of MT and I talk about, like, you're taking away the ceiling of this because JK can lift your ceiling. We've seen it against the Rockets. We've seen it against the Lakers. Kerr has decided that the potential is that we drop this level that we've had by forcing him in there. And I get it. I just don't think they can win a I don't think they can win a championship anyway, but I don't think they can make a run without that extra thing. Yeah, and Kuminga is that extra thing, but it potentially is an extra bad thing. So this is Steve Kerr's right almost all the time. We'll see if he's right on this. I think you could have used him in some of those times when Gary Payton got the ball in the middle of the lane and was not looking at the basket, and Kuminga would have tried to dunk that thing. It probably would have. Might got fouled and with the free throw, but I get the sense the coach gets what the feeling is, and I'm telling you, I mean, you guys know this. I'm telling the podcast listeners, that locker room is not rallying behind get John Kuminga more minutes. It is not happening. They're not disliking him. They like what they got. They like this feeling, this group, and Jimmy Butler has changed that, and it happened while Kuminga was out, and it hasn't been as great since he's been back. There's been some good things. There's some bad. They like this Butler thing, and in many ways, he just replaces the minutes that Kuminga would have been getting right
now. That, to me, is the big deal. It's like now you're essentially, if you were to fight for it, you're fighting for the fourth best player at best, right? Because you got Steph, you've got Jimmy, Pods is playing really well. Like, at best, you're like, hey, get in here. Yeah, I mean, obviously Draymond. But I mean, like, offensively, which is the part he's going to bring. You're not talking about, like, hey, we got this massive hole at number two. Can you come in and fill it? It's like, all right, we can get you some touches in certain matchups. So it's a little tougher to fight for that when you've got Steph and Jimmy dominating the lion's share. And Pods is playing so well, like, he kind of wants the ball in his hands, too. So it's kind of leaving him
Moody's
out.
The one, you know, I could always throw that out there, but Moody's playing good defense. So, you know, they know,
like,
they can count on him.
Moody's like playing good defense against Hall of Famers. Yeah, like, it's
slapping
insane.
At the ball. He's been tough.
He had a good first half.
Yeah. And he wasn't so great with those loose balls we're talking about. He wasn't so great with that. And he's not hitting the shot. But Steve can just rely on him to play that defense. That's what he wants. That's what he needs when you got Steph and Jimmy. And that does change the dynamic and it's changed a big – I mean, again – we've said this every year, but specific to Jimmy Butler coming, it's changed it a lot for Kuminga. And it's just like, then I don't think it's changing back this season.
Jimmy Butler, 48 minutes tonight, and I mentioned the flying knee to the thigh. That it was. I asked him last time he had a thigh contusion. He said it's been a while. You've got to be concerned about
knee either.
No, that's one of like the more pointy, like strong, wiry knees coming at you. Steph Curry has his right thumb taped. He's kind of had it sprained all year, but this feels like one of the more painful versions of that, which he's dealing with. Had 8 turnovers today, kind of struggled with some of the length and the double teams. Draymond Green left the game for like probably 10 minutes with a neck issue, went back to the locker room. Draymond and Steph played 38 minutes. Pajemski plays 43. You worry less about him considering age and everything. But I just, you know, I'm asking this or stating this because – you know, two steps back, bigger picture.
How many more games that left, you know, might they need to get to the Western Conference Finals? A lot of games.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wear and tear on them already. And they just added an extra game. They just lost a game where Jimmy played 48 minutes and got a knee. So that's not a great sign. Well, it was going to be a weakness for this team anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you think, like, they're about to play a high-intensity, high-emotion game against the Grizzlies. Let's say they win that. like the Rockets. You saw the Rockets come in here and against a more fatigued version of the Warriors and how they defended them.
There's a player the Warriors could have used who didn't play that might have given them some extra juice, but that's not what we already talked about. That.
Let's move on.
Yeah. No, they're going to get banged up. They're going to get banged up. They're not going to. I mean, Steph was asked about it. How do you feel right now? You guys, no one was ahead of you. And I think Marcus might even ask the question. And, you know, Steph kind of gulped like, hey, like we've been through this before. This is the way it is. But, you know, you can see the thought bubbles and all of them. Like, this is not ideal. And, you know, maybe they all get second wins or third wins or fourth wins. But you can just look forward. Like, there's going to – even if they get through this play-in, they're going to – there's going to be a game or two where Steph's not 100%. There's going to be a game or two where Jimmy's not 100%, and it might be right away. This is what they're dealing with, and this is well, they can't change that now. And that's why they wanted this week off so bad, and they're not getting it. I mean, they're at least maybe they can get a few days off after Tuesday, but there's an ideal path out there, and they're not taking it. And then obviously, as you mentioned, the San Antonio game was the one that caused all this.
To me, like Tuesday is the season for them. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe they could go Friday and win and then go like give the Thunder at least a scare and we'll see. Maybe I'm proven wrong, but I think if they don't win Tuesday that it's barbecued. So thinking about that, game seven, whatever you want, like Memphis is interesting. Memphis historically has defended them well, but Memphis defense has fallen off a cliff lately. Jaren Jackson Jr. is, you know, has given them problems. He's the type of rim protector that is an issue, but he's foul prone. The Warriors seem to be good at baiting him into fouls. I think his foul trouble or non-trouble on Tuesday is going to be huge. Gary Payton didn't play in the last Memphis game. He will be available to guard Ja. He's probably their best, you know, from a speed option for Ja, but they did not guard Ja well without Payton in the Memphis game. I mean, this is a huge game. What's your initial thoughts on the matchup?
I just after the Clippers, they should just have a lot more relief against the Grizzlies. They got places to attack. I mean, you've got to deal with James Harden at the spear, you know, at the head of the spear. You got Kawhi Leonard is like on one. Norm Powell, who's like sixth man of the year, like an incredible season, is the third best option, maybe fourth because Zubac is inside. Like that, Memphis just doesn't have all those counters. So that should definitely, I do think that should help.
This ain't some cakewalk game though. Memphis has a core that has been.
That was a brutal bar fight against the Clippers. So
I'm just saying, move on from that. Like you got it. Like this is not an easy game.
My point is, if they play that game, if they play this game in hard, it'll just be. Memphis is just not that much bigger of a matchup nightmare for them.
Okay, but then Santi Aldama hits 6 threes. Like there's some concerns.
I'm not saying there's not concern. I'm saying it's relative, right? Like you play that team and you come into this game. Now, if you're playing hard, it should feel a little different. If you deal with Ja, you might be you're much better off because it's Santi Aldama and it's not, you know, Kawhi Leonard on the other part. So to me, I'm not giving them the out. I'm not giving them the back. Like, no, they should be able to handle this Memphis team. Like, it's a matchup at home. They essentially have to guard a three-point line. What happens in these play-in games is other teams get hot from three and the Warriors miss threes. Like, that's what happens in these play-in games. Or LeBron hits it where he's looking at five things and he shoots the one in the middle. It's they got to stop other dudes from going crazy from three. I mean, that's really what hurt them tonight. Like, you guard the three-point line. It's if you can't do that against Memphis, I mean, you probably shouldn't.
You're getting beat on penetration. They're kicking out. You're rotating, and guys are open in the corners. And, you know, hey, Ja can do that to them, too. And Ja will get open threes, and he's been hitting them. So, yeah, they could get beat. They could play decently and still get beat, especially if Jimmy's limping around a little bit. But they should win. They should take care of business. Yeah, you're right, though. If they lose this game, I don't care if they play great, and they lose this game, it's going to be death march. Like the next game is going to be like, what are we, you know, even here for? I think they might think that too, by the way. And then they win that, and they get on plane. Okay, see, here we go, game one. Just get me some Whataburger. That's all I will go for with the Whataburger. But
it's in 3-2. Yeah.
That's why I think there should be the same level of urgency because they don't want to play Thursday. Like this is it.
It's Friday, by the way. It's a Friday night 7 p.m. game here, and then you would play game one Sunday in OKC with absolutely no prep time for the Thunder. You know, part of their reason of like, oh, maybe they can scheme up something for Shea, this or that. Well, you know, game two would be your game because you got
– That's when they had to go to game seven to beat Sacramento 2 years ago, and they had to go turn around and play the Lakers game one here, but it was like super fast.
Swung the series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, losing game one screwed up the whole thing. So like that, and if this would be going against 68 win actually, Oklahoma City, whatever they
ever actually work for Memphis that year. They beat the Warriors. They go in, who's it?
Was it Utah? It was that like was those like, Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, exactly. Utah team. Yeah, they won game one, and we were like the rot like, at 4-1 Jazz.
After that, yeah. So it worked to their advantage. I don't think anybody's sneaking up on the Warriors.
Those were young legs too back then. This is not a young.
Yeah, I do feel like they should have that same level of urgency. And just to be, if they do, like they're just a better team.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, it is a one game playoff, and like, you know, Memphis can get hot, and they have put themselves really at risk here. Now, the other thing is, if they do take care of business Tuesday, I mean, like, Houston is not a unfortunate, you know, like they have stuff they're going to need to solve with Houston, and game one in Houston's going to be like they're going to come out like fierce. But I think the Lakers would have been like Luka and LeBron was their other option if they had won today. Like, there's a chance that maybe this was a fortunate loss, but we won't know that until after the game Tuesday night, because if not, then they don't win that game. So anyway, that's where I'm at.
I agree.
Talk to y'all Tuesday.